page 466, on Science and Phenomenology by Herbert Marcuse, written at a time when following Thomas Kuhn's The Structure of Scientific Revolution, the philosophy of science was rediscovering the historical contingency of its paradigms. Marcuse here focuses on the central presupposition of the category of reason. Reason had not always been defined as a mere tool to devise efficient means to implement values which themselves remain beyond rational discussion and challenge. Rather, it was one of the distinguishing marks of reason to formulate, examine, implement, and modify the ends on the basis of emerging historical possibilities. It was this usurpation of substantive reason, its reduction to paradigmatic rule of deductive inference, that the critical theorist consistently fought, intended as a critique of a position that has recently again received attention. The essay unfolds the historical origin and manifestations of the concept of reason. From the days of reason as the basis for transforming the world which gave rise to science to the point where the structuring ends and objective have been exiled from the self-awareness of science. The crises of European science and transcendental phenomenology is Husserl's last work. Written in the 30s, the first part was published in 1936, the second part only after Husserl's death. I would like to indicate first where I see the general historical locus of this work. It seems to me that we have to place it in the context of the radical re-examination of the Western concept of reason, of Western rationality that began in the last decades of the 19th century and to which so essentially different thinkers as Bergson, Dilthey, Max Weber, Spengler, Piaget, and Bachelard belong. Page 467. All of them have in common this questioning of the very idea which has guided Western thought since its Greek origin, that is, the rationality typical of the Occident. It seems to me that Husserl is the last in this group and in a certain sense, which may strike you as strange, the most radical of these re-examiners. In Husserl, it is modern science itself, this most sacrosanct child of Western rationality, that is questioned. In this re-examination, modern science appears as the end of a fateful development, which begins with Greek thought, that is, with the origin of Western thought itself, as the end of this development in the twofold sense of determination and of fulfilling the telos, the purpose, the objective of this thought. According to Husserl, science, modern science, Galilean as well as post-Galilean, originates in the Greek idea of knowledge and truth and comes to rest in a scientific rationality in which truth and validity contain in themselves illusion and repression. Before I try to present Husserl's radical thesis, I have to stress that it is not the result of a sociological analysis or of a sociology of knowledge. It is precisely the fascinating aspect of Husserl's work that it is a philosophical analysis within the academic framework of intellectual history, even within the academic division of labor. Husserl's emphasizes philosophy as Beruf, as calling, and that philosophy is done in the Berufszeit, that is to say, in the time reserved in the academic division for such investigations. Husserl adds, and this is important, I come back to it at the end, that the calling of the philosopher is a unique calling because, and I quote him, This calling is linked with the possibility of a radical transformation of humanity, and not only a radical transformation of humanity, but also a liberation. And this possibility makes the calling of the philosopher unique within the division of labor. Footnote 1. Text. In the course of such a philosophical undertaking, philosophical also in the sense of a discipline, in the course of its own inner development, Husserl's analysis transcends itself, or rather it descends from the pure theoretical to the impure pre-theoretical practical dimension. Better, the pure theoretical analysis discovers its own internal impurity, but only to return from this impure sphere to the still pure theoretical dimension of transcendental phenomenology as constituent of the practical pre-theoretical dimension, the Lebenswelt. Page 468. I use the German term Lebenswelt. The literal translation, life world, is too large and too vague in its context. What Husserl means is our own empirical day-to-day world. It is given in immediate experience, practical and other. The world of life and death in our empirical reality. So I will use either Lebenswelt or empirical reality. I will now devote some time to presenting Husserl's own thesis. The work is not fully translated. We only have Gurwitsch's excellent abstract of it. But I shall focus it in such a way that the critical problems stand out. Husserl begins with a very brief description of what he considers the Greek concept of reason, namely the idea of human being as self-determination and determination of its world by virtue of man's intellectual faculties, the concept of reason according to which man's intellectual faculties are at the same time capable of determining his own life and of determining, defining, and changing the universe. This conception presupposes that the universe itself, which is thus rationally comprehended, is in its very structure a rational system and therefore accessible to knowledge and change on the grounds of man's own rational knowledge. In other words, reason for the Greeks is objective and subjective at one and the same time. And, on this basis, reason is the subjective as well as objective instrument for changing the world in accord with man's rational faculties and ends. But in this process, reason itself, as theoria, is and remains the basis of the transformation of the world. Philosophy is thus established as science, and as the first, most excellent and general science, which must give direction and the end to all other sciences. What are the implications of this original concept of reason? First, it implies a supra-factual, supra-temporal validity of reason, so that the real or discovered and defined by reason is rational as against the immediately given fact. Reason establishes an authority and reality which is in this way antagonistic to the immediately given facts. Secondly, true being is ideational being, a conclusion from the first implication, not being as we experience it immediately in this flux of our empirical, practical work. Thus, Platonism is the basis of all scientific knowledge. Thirdly, objectivity is necessarily correlated with subjectivity. Again, the subjective as well as objective structure of reason. Husserl here gives a formulation which, in an entirely different context, recaptures the very question and thesis with which Western philosophy began, namely the final identity of being and reason. He says, can being and reason be separated of cognitive reason determines the essence of being? Footnote 2, text. Page 469. So we find at the very beginning and at the late stage of Western philosophy this almost literal identity in the formulation of the basic problem, the mysterious union and even identity of reason and being. Knowing and being. Now this concept of reason, which is theoretical and practical reason in one, is understood by Husserl as a project. I use the term here as it was elaborated in the philosophy of Sartre, project, in the sense that this idea of rationality and its application is a specific way of experiencing, interpreting, organizing, and changing the world, a specific historical project, among other possible ones, not the only necessary project. This project, according to Husserl, came to fulfillment with the foundation of modern science, namely, in Galileo's mathematization of nature. Galileo's mathematization of nature established that purely rational, idealistic system which was the dream of all Platonism. Galileo established the idealistic world mathematically as the true reality. Substituting this scientific universe for the only given reality, namely our empirical Lebenswelt. But the very fulfillment of this project was also its collapse, according to Husserl. For this scientific rationality, this idea of reason and its application proved successful only in the positive science and in the technological conquest of nature, while the original foundation of this entire science, that which originally was supposed to constitute the very structure, content, and end of science, namely philosophy, remained an impotent, abstract, meaningless, metaphysical sphere of knowledge and continued in this impotent form a hopeless academic existence, which, in addition, was more and more dissolved into psychology. Thus separated from the basic philosophy, which, according to the original ideas of reason, was supposed to give the ends, the objectives, the meaning of science, separated from this basic philosophy, which was supposed to provide the truly universal concepts, reason was at the same time divorced, and this is decisive for Husserl from that rational humanitas envisaged in the original philosophical project. Scientific technological rationality became reason, kat exoken, divorced from the validating ends set by philosophy, the rational set by science, and the rational of its development and progress became that of the Lebenswelt itself, in which and for which this science developed. Footnote 3, text. Instead of rationally transcending the Lebenswelt, science comprehended, expressed, and extended the specific rational of the Lebenswelt, namely the ever more effective mastery of the environment, Herrschaft über die praktische Umwelt, including the ever more effective mastery of the man. Footnote 4, text. Page 470. But that was not the inherent telos of science, which was first and foremost, and not only in the chronical sense, the telos defined by the empirical reality in which science developed. Thus, theoretical reason, pure reason, without losing its scientific character as theory, becomes practical reason. Theory by virtue of its internal dynamic rather than on external grounds becomes a specific historical practice. But, and this is decisive for Husserl, and the justification of this own subsequent phenomenological reduction. This entire development, this entire transformation of reason, this essential structure, internal commitment of pure reason, pure theory and pure science to the empirical reality in which they originated, this entire transformation